This is Mark Kempoff, MacArthur, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Henry Mackow is going to join us today at right around 9 o'clock Central Time to discuss, among other things, feminism and Zionism. You can find Henry's site at savethemales.ca. He's a very, very fascinating guy. I've read his work for a number of years, and he posts, among other things, to the Breaking All Rules News Columnist Guild, where you can find a current article that I have written on the USS Liberty, with links in turn to what Eric Margolis has said on that subject, as well as James Ennis. But that will be Henry Mackow joining us at right around 9 o'clock Central Time to discuss feminism and Zionism and gay lobby and a series of other things that relate to a wider worldview for Zionism than perhaps we might have previously imagined. Dr. Henry Mackow, again, can be found at savethemails.ca. Folks, we're getting really close, aren't we, to the start tomorrow of the truckout rally. All 48 continental United States state legislature capitol buildings will be circled and shut down. There will be also a slow roll that will be taking place in the context of this entire protest. Also, these guys are going to make their presence known in Washington, D.C. This begins tomorrow, April 23rd, starting at noon. You can find information on this, of course, at republicbroadcasting.org. You can go to Frosty Wooldridge's site at saveamericafund.org and see information on this whole situation there. And I imagine, from what I'm hearing, that Wanda Piotti, who joins Frosty at saveamericafund.com, will be dropping in from time to time on some of our shows here at RBN to report on the progress of the truckers' rally, which again begins tomorrow, April 23rd. It will continue on the 24th and the 25th. And this is going to be a pivotal moment, I believe, in the history of this country. Certainly, I am concerned about the health of the American trucking industry. Certainly, I'm concerned that these men and women have jobs, good jobs. I'm also concerned about the safety of our highways and the threat that is posed by a wholesale carte blanche opening to the American trucking industry in this country, which is bad for our workers and bad for the safety of our highways. But this has even bigger implications than simply our concerns for Americans and their trucking jobs. This involves another protest, another legitimate protest against the onslaught of world government. Folks, take a look at what this Security and Prosperity Partnership arrangement for a North American Union is. It's simply a continuation of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. It's a continuation of GATT and the World Trade Organization, globalist movements. When we get into this whole business of a free trade agreement for the Americas, the FTAA, that's evolved as well. All of these are building blocks, and with each building block comes more centralized global control of the American economy, the American culture, the American government, the American media. With this comes a slow death knell to everything that we have believed that we stood for in this country. This is a very, very key moment. And if you happen to be a trucker, obviously it's in your interest to support this truck out rally. But if you're an American who is simply concerned about the encroachment of globalism on your life and the lives of your family members, this is worth your time to listen to follow, to tell other people about it, and to support it to the extent that you can. Frosty Wooldridge, of course, has been on this show. He's been on a number of the other RBN shows in addition to his own broadcast in this network. And he's been covering all the bases as well with the American Free Press in regard to what is involved in this and what it means for you and for me. And clearly what it involves is the end of this country as we have known it if things do not turn around. How do things turn around? They turn around to the extent that Americans who care become involved. And I think, as I've said before on this show, going back to when Frosty was here some days ago, he has moved things up to a new level. I think it's essential that there are people who talk about this. I happen to be one of them. I think it's essential that there are people who write about it, such as those who've penned articles about for the American Free Press. But now we are moving to the next level where there is some concrete action being undertaken, led by Frosty Wooldridge, led by Wanda Piotti. It is designed to convey to all of our state legislatures and to the federal government that the American public has had enough of this and that there is going to be a stand taken against a deliberate, well-financed conspiracy to destroy this country and to destroy the United States of America as a nation state, and to bring us into yet another division in the building blocks of world government. Concerned about the mark of the beast, it seems to me that it's been an incremental advance on the part of the beast for quite some time now. This needs to turn around. And to the extent that Americans are able to do it, the truckers' rally is certainly one example of the sort of thing that we need to be supporting in the days that are ahead. The media has a number of stories today that are worth your time. Grant Smith has a post at antiwar.com today entitled, "Is the Media Sabotaging the AIPAC Spy Trial?" I'm going to take a look at that in more detail in the next hour or two. Dr. Henry Mackow, who is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Central, has a post today at rents.com entitled, "Betty Friedan, The Making of a Woman Hater." Elizabeth Wright at Issues and Views has a very, very important piece today at Lou Rockwell. I would like to get Elizabeth on this show and have written her this morning asking her to come on. She is an African-American who is also a paleoconservative. And if you look at her site, which is entitled Issues and Views, you will see that not all African-Americans think alike. That's a fairly obvious thing, isn't it? Not all African-Americans support a socialist or Marxist line. Not all African-Americans are shills for the Anti-Defamation League and for the Southern Poverty Law Center of Morris Deese. Elizabeth Wright is an example of that. I am acquainted with her online and have been for several years, I think. But I would really like to have her come on this show to discuss her site, which is called Issues and Views, as well as many other things that relate to her concerns about the direction that this country is going in. And that's something we're going to hopefully be taking a look at with her in the days ahead. Ryan Dawson, very interesting young man, has today a post entitled Anti-Neocons. And at Anti-Neocons, there is a special post which Ryan has authored entitled 9/11 Iraq PNAC, which stands for Project for a New American Century, All Roads Lead to Israel. It's a fairly lengthy piece, and it has a lot of links to in it. I'm going to try and get this post later, Breaking All the Rules News, so that you might have an opportunity to browse it. It's a very, very interesting interesting piece. YouTube has some postage or postings today, including one entitled 9/11 Flight 93 Rare Footage. This footage indicates that there was a breakup of that flight well before it hit the ground. And that's being taken directly, as near as I can tell, from an establishment corporate media conglomerate site that was airing this footage at the time. There is another story today entitled Factory Jobs, 3 million lost since 2000. That's at Breitbart.com. That's a very, very crucial piece written by an Associated Press economics writer by the name of Martin Kritzinger. If you read Martin's writing today, you'll see a very unpretty economic picture. We have lost 3 million factory jobs since 2000. He goes into a lot of discussion as to how and why this is. Quite clearly, I believe it dovetails with what Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piatti are fighting in terms of this trucking protest. Folks, the economy of this country is being destroyed in the interest of globalist forces. It's very, very apparent. We are moving really to a post-industrial, post-manufacturing economic society, into a service-oriented society and economy that involves minimum wage jobs to the extent that you can even get those, and involves the economic dislocation and disenfranchisement of thousands and thousands of people. The United States is losing its middle class. It's losing its middle class that at one time was based on a manufacturing economy. What's happened to it? It's all been deliberately exported abroad. It's all come under the aegis of a global management team that wants to remove the special status that the United States of America once enjoyed as the most powerful economy on earth. And I'm not an economist, but it seems apparent, to me at least, that when you destroy the economic sector of a society, when you destroy its manufacturing capability, what does it make? What kind of tangible economic goods is it producing? When the answer is fewer and fewer all the time, clearly something's happening to the economy, and turn is going to have political implications, cultural implications, implications for your survival and mine. So if you combine the destruction of the manufacturing sector of the American economy or any other economy for that matter. And with that, add debt, massive levels of national debt, massive levels of consumer debt, you can quite clearly see where things are going. Are we better off than we were 4 years ago, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 100 years ago? Add to that whole issue of debt another factor, and that is the Federal Reserve Board and the ability to expand and contract supply at will. When you can do that, you can control an entire country. You can control an entire society, and that quite obviously is what is happening here. Again, that piece by Martin Kritzinger today at Breitbart.com is entitled Factory Jobs, 3 million lost since 2000. That's just been since the arrival of George Bush. It was, of course, happening before that time. But this is what has been going on just since King George has been in the saddle. We are looking at the destruction of our manufacturing sector. We are looking at the ongoing encroachment of ever-increasing levels of government at the federal level as well as at the state level. We're talking about excruciating levels of debt. We're talking about a foreign trade deficit that is simply off the charts. We are speaking here of the expansion of a Middle Eastern war that is already not going well at all, to say the least, into Iran. And, of course, Mr. Bush has added a series of to the plate in regard to the creation of a domestic police state in this country, the USA Patriot Acts 1 and 2, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the NSA Warrantless Surveillance Program, and so forth and so on. When you look at all of these things taken together, economy, war, debt, and police state, it certainly makes for a very, very ugly picture. And in regard to that, where are we headed politically? Quite clearly, we are headed in the wrong direction. And to me, when I look at the corporate sponsorship, the Zionist sponsorship of the American electoral process as it relates to the upcoming presidential elections, what choice do you have? Clearly, in regard to the major party candidates, the upper tier major party candidates, and I use the word upper advisedly, there's no difference between these people in regard to the real issues of the day. We've seen this with Romney and with Giuliani, with McCain on the Republican side of the aisle. On the Democratic side, with Edwards and Obama and Clinton, it becomes abundantly clear as well that the Jewish lobby has its tongs into these people and is bankrolling them, financing them, and manipulating just who is going to ultimately receive the nomination of each of the major parties. That's the way it is, folks. And unless we decide to engage in some really effective, and I mean effective political activism, this is going to continue. And in regard to that, what is the process whereby we might begin to have some effective activism? You know, I'm going to submit to you this morning that the first thing that needs to happen is that we need to identify the enemy. I've shared with you before on this show that I've been involved for many years as a conservative political activist who probably achieved next to nothing in regard to everything that I ever tried to do. And I say that on the basis of looking back over the long haul of history. I began following this sort of thing as a young child, particularly in 1964 when Goldwater was running against Johnson. I was going to a Lutheran parochial school in Hawaii at that time, and was quite interested in this whole business that surrounded the debate over Vietnam, because my dad was an Air Force colonel in those days. A lot of my friends at the parochial school had fathers who were in the 25th Infantry Division at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii that ended up being shipped out by Johnson to Vietnam. And in those days, very, very young kids followed some of these debates because their families were directly involved. Their own lives were affected by the outcome of these momentous decisions being made by an American chief executive with the acquiescence of a comatose Congress. In that regard, not much has changed when you look at what has happened with the Iraq War. But suffice it to say that in 1964, I became more acutely aware of, in a general sense, what American conservatism was, what the American right believed, or what I thought it believed. And that began to define me in the years that followed. So that a decade after those grade school years, when I was in college, I was reading Human Events and National Review and believing that the country was in great need of a conservative reformation, as it were. So along with thousands of other young people and young middle-aged people who became involved in Ronald Reagan's presidential campaigns, I became a volunteer for that. And that started me on the road to a brand of Republican political activism that was well-intentioned. And on paper, all of my views, for the most part, were good views, well in keeping with what most of the folks who listen to this network would believe. And yet it seemed that year after year, we were losing, I was losing, the culture was losing, the real right movement was losing, and I never really understood why. And I think part of that reason, perhaps more than a part of that reason, was because I did not understand the centrality of who and what has been behind this demise of our economy, this demise of our culture, the demise of our schools, and the demise of our foreign policy in my lifetime. You go from 1964 to right now, that's what, 43 years ago? That's a very long period of time. It's been during those years that I have been on this odyssey, trying to figure out who and what was behind all of these things that I was seeing, who and what is behind where we presently are in this situation. And I'm forced to conclude, frankly, that the Israeli lobby and the Jewish lobby in America has played a disproportionate role in all of these events. And it's based upon that conclusion that I have come to see the world and have come to see the American domestic political scene in a different light than I once did. Most of my views are the same. I have changed significantly, however, in regard to some of the things that I believe about the American national security state. I have changed completely in regard to my perceptions of Israel and the Jewish lobby. I understand more than I have ever understood about the Anti-Defamation League, groups like that, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and so forth and so on. And yet I feel that I have to learn so much more. I'm just beginning to learn the things at an age of 51 could have been understanding and learning as a very, very young child. Having said that, I will give myself at least a little bit of slack this morning and give those of you some slack who are new to this process yourself. And that is that when you look at the extent to which we have all been products of a media and educational and governmental system that has been manipulated and controlled for decades, we have all been demised by this. And to the extent that we are beginning to learn more about this phenomenon, that is liberating because it enables us to understand exactly how we have arrived at B from point A. It also gives us a better perspective as to who and what we support in the days ahead, who and what is behind the things that we should not support, and how we can best effectively engage in some degree of political dialogue and political activism that goes beyond the failure, the abject failure of all this traditional activism that has taken the conservative movement in this country nowhere, to where we might begin making some progress. And that's why I'm excited about this truckers' rally. I have never driven a truck in my life, except for a couple of times when I have used a U-Haul to move across the country. I did that once moving from San Antonio to Philadelphia, 1998, did it when I came back. Other than that, I know nothing about trucking, but I'm learning more about liberty. This is Mark Gann, Pops America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to get into some of Frosty Wooldridge's arguments for this rally when we come back. Henry Mack will join us at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves offer the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at StovesandMoreOnline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Henry Macau will join us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. You can find his website at Save the Males, as in M-A-L-E-S, SaveTheMales.ca. An incredible compendium of articles there that he has posted. He is also a columnist for the Breaking All the Rules News Columnist Guild, which I also write for. And I posted an article there several days ago on the USS Liberty, which you can access at the main BATR news page, or also by going to the Columnist Guild site within the BATR news service. And that's a post that I have entitled, I believe, "The Israel Who Attacked Us Then is the Israel That Is Destroying Us Now." You can find that at BATR News. Talking about some of the things that are important in today's world, Grant Smith has a post today entitled, "Is the Media Sabotaging the AIPAC Spy Trial?" You haven't been hearing a lot about this spy trial, and what we have been reading about in recent times related to that spy trial has largely been in the Jewish press. The Jewish Daily Forward had a post a couple of days ago which indicated that there are several strategies being undertaken by the defense, which may in fact prove to be very, very effective. Are these guys going to be convicted, these two fellows, Rosen and Weissman, of espionage against the people of the United States and the government of the United States? You know, I really don't know. I suspect that they're not going to be convicted. I think they're going to get off, or if they are convicted, that they are going to be given very, very little in the way of sentencing after a conviction. But at this particular juncture, my gut tells me that they're not going to be convicted, particularly based upon some motions and rulings that have been made by the federal judge presiding in that case, which suggests that the defense strategy is going to be a very effective one. Are they in fact guilty of espionage? You be the judge. But it seems to me that when you look at this whole issue of the Israeli lobby and Israeli spying against the United States, that going back to the Pollard spy case, there's a very ugly picture that keeps emerging and getting larger on this. of which this APEX spy trial is just one more example. Rosen and Weissman, I suspect, will never be convicted, but let's hope that I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, I will rejoice, particularly if they get the sentence that they deserve for treason. But we'll keep an eye on that story in the days ahead. Getting back to this whole issue then of the trucker strike, we've been talking in recent days on this show and other ones about it, or I should say the truckers' protest. This truck out rally, once again, will begin tomorrow, April 23rd, and continue on the 24th and the 25th, starting at noon. Listeners can go to the republicbroadcasting.org site for more information. You can also find more information on this at the site that Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piotti have created, which is entitled SaveAmericaFund.com. In regard to all of this, Frosty reminds us once more in the American Free Press of April 9th, in the beginning of his series for AFP, and why he's doing this, why Wanda Piotti's doing it, why other people are becoming involved. And I wanted to go through some of these arguments again and some of these facts as Frosty posts them in this AFP article of April 9th, in order that we might have in perspective exactly how important this is. Illegal immigration in and of itself is a threat to the economy and the culture of the United States. I'm going to read some things from Frosty's article that I think will underscore the fact that that's true. But this illegal immigration crisis should not be seen in isolation from the larger issue of globalism. The illegal immigration circumstance, in my view, is but a part of a wider picture. How do you bring all of the nations of the world under the aegis of a world government? Among other things, it seems to me that you have to ensure that the strongest and most independent nation states are broken, that they are made malleable, that they are made vulnerable to the institutions of world government as they have been created by the power elite. That's what's happening in the United States, and I believe that whether you're looking at illegal immigration or you're looking at the judicial system or you're watching what is happening with the continued utilization of the armed forces of the states and UN peacekeeping operations and so forth and so on, that it all comes together as a composite. And the composite, again, suggests that the biggest struggle politically today, the biggest fault line in the world today, whether it's in the U.S. or elsewhere, is globalists versus nationalists. And if you're a nationalist, you need to be supporting this truckers' protest, because this is but one piece of a larger puzzle which suggests that the folks that are putting the New World Order together want to grab you by the throat. They want to grab your family members by the throat. They want to destroy your economy. They want to destroy your family. They want to destroy your churches. They want to destroy your local communities in order that they might bring all of this under the control of the beast. And this whole issue of the North American Union is arguably a part of this process. I believe it to be a part of this process. And if we see a situation where there is a North American Union highway stretching from Mexico all the way up through the San Antonio, Austin, I-35 corridor into Kansas City and into Duluth and ultimately into Canada, if that becomes a reality, then you're going to see not only a crisis when it comes to Mexican trucking interests destroying American truckers, you're going to see a safety crisis on American highways, the likes of which you've never seen. And Frosty Wooldridge has been speaking about this nationally in recent days, including on this show. You're also going to witness a flood of Asian products into this country, the likes of which we have never seen before. If you believe that China has been systematically, continually destroying the economy of this country with all of these cheap imports and with this foreign trade situation that we have with them, you've not seen anything yet if this North American Union becomes a reality. One of the key ways that we can keep it from becoming a reality is to become directly involved in supporting this truck out rally. Again, you can find more information about that at republicbroadcasting.org or go to Frosty Wooldridge's site, which is saveamericafund.com. I'm going to read a little bit from what Frosty has to tell us here as it's found in AFP on April 9th, simply to reinforce how significant this whole process has become. He cites a series of things from the Los Angeles Times entitled Shocking Illegal Immigration Facts. What is most shocking about these facts is that they're coming from a corporate publication. The Los Angeles Times, by the way, has come under the ownership of the same guy that has just taken over the Chicago Tribune, Sam Zell. Zell is a Zionist. He is very thick with the Zionist lobby in America. He now owns Colonel McCormick's Chicago Tribune. That's a great tragedy and a great irony. He also owns the LA Times, but suffice it to say with Mr. Zell that his publications from time to time, including the LA Times, do say things that are worthwhile on occasion, and this issue of illegal immigration is one example. Frosty Wooldridge cites these things, all taken from the Los Angeles Times. Number one, 40% of all workers in L.A. County, and L.A. County has 10.2 million people, are working for cash and not paying taxes. This was because they are predominantly illegal immigrants working without a green card. Number two, 95% of warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. Number three, 75% of people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens. Number four, over two-thirds of all births in Los Angeles County are to illegal alien Mexicans on Medi-Cal, whose births were paid for by U.S. taxpayers. Number five, nearly 25% of all inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationals here illegally. Number six, 300,000 illegal aliens are living in garages in Los Angeles County. Number seven, half of all gang members in Los Angeles are most likely illegal aliens from south of the border, according to the FBI. Number eight, nearly 60% of all occupants of HUD properties are illegals. Number nine, 3.9 million speak Spanish in L.A. County. 5.1 million people speak English there. Number 10, less than 2% of illegal aliens are picking our crops. That's an interesting one. Number 11, 29% of illegal aliens are on welfare. Number 12, 21 radio stations in L.A. are Spanish-speaking. Number 13, over 70% of the U.S. annual population growth and over 90% of California, Florida, and New York results from immigration. And then the last two facts here are as follows. 29% of inmates in federal prisons are illegal aliens, and the cost of immigration to the U.S. taxpayer in 1997 was, after subtracting taxes immigrants pay, a net $70 billion a year, according to Professor Donald Huddle of Rice University. The lifetime fiscal impact, taxes paid minus services used, for the average adult Mexican immigrant is a negative number. This comes to us today from the Los Angeles Times, as Frosty Wooldridge cites it in his American Free Press story of April 9th entitled, The Next 100 Million, Can America Survive the Human Tsunami Headed Straight for Our Nation? I want to read a little bit more of Frosty's piece in terms of his actual prose this morning, because again it underscores the importance of tomorrow and the next 2 days after tomorrow, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. The truck out rally, where in all 48 continental U.S. states, we are going to see state legislature Capitol buildings circled and shut down. There's going to be a slow roll on American highways. These folks are going to make their presence known in Washington, D.C. as well. For more information about this, again, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org or to Frosty Wooldridge's site at saveamericafund.com. Why then are we as American conservatives supporting this effort? Certainly what I've just read from the Los Angeles Times, as Frosty cites it in his piece, are among the reasons why. But he goes on to say that according to the mainstream media, the United States surpassed 300 million people in October of 2000. The current demographic predictions, based on accelerating growth levels, show America adding 100 million people by 2040. For those asleep at the wheel, that's 33 years from now, a bull time. To put this unprecedented growth in perspective, it is much like the earthquakes that occurred beneath Southeast Asia in 2004, in which a wave of energy sped through the ocean for hours and hundreds of miles without notice. It hit the shoreline in Sri Lanka. It created cataclysmic devastation and tens of thousands of deaths. Why? No one suspected it, and no one took action to save themselves. The Senate in May of 2006 passed comprehensive immigration reform, S-2611, that doubled current immigration levels from 1 million to 2 million annually. It increased work visas by tens of thousands. It continued allowance for millions in chain migration. It allowed millions more in anchor babies. The Senate bill did nothing to stop illegal immigration, estimated by some to be as high as 3 million people crossing into America illegally every year. It did not stop the 50,000 annual diversity visas that allow many people to come to America from the poorest countries in the world. It added more visas that allow more foreigners to gain jobs and produce anchor babies in America that assure they never return to their home countries. What does that mean to American citizens? What about our overloaded cities, overwhelmed schools? How about our water, farmland, energy, air quality, food sources, species, habitat, and dozens of other issues? The first question we must all ask ourselves is, can anyone name a single advantage to adding 100 million people to America in 33 years? What will it do to our society? Do we want to grow to 1 billion people? If not, at what point do we stabilize growth? In 1900, the world population reached 1.6 billion. Today, it exceeds 6.4 billion. By mid-century, it's expected to grow to somewhere between 9 billion and 9.8 billion, according to the Population Reference Bureau, a nonprofit organization that provides information on U.S. and international population trends and their implications. Already, according to published reports, 8 million people starve to death annually. Over 35% of humanity does not have clean drinking water. Species extinction exceeds thousands every year. What is it that we hope to accomplish by adding another 3 billion people to the planet with the consequences already raining down on us with current population levels? For those who can remember, in 1964, America housed 194 million people. Gas prices remained steady at 29 cents a gallon. Candy bars sold for 5 cents along with ice cream cones. A pack of cancer sticks cost 20 cents. Movies cost 50 cents. An estimated 95% of kids arrived at school from a two-parent home. Few heard of gridlock, air pollution, or road rage. Today, gas exceeds $3 a gallon. An ice cream cone tops $2. Cigarettes run $3.80 a pack, and movies exceed $8 a ticket. A bag of popcorn costs $5. What's changed? Much has changed, but the short answer can be summed up by supply and demand due to population. In 1965, Teddy Kennedy authored the Stealth Immigration Reform Act that changed 50 years of a steady influx of immigrants from 175,000 annually to a gargantuan 1.1 million people per year. Along with illegal immigration, the United States grew by 106 million people in 41 years. Here are a few things you can expect in your state as population rises all over the country. In the next 50 years, you can expect 1 million to as many as 3 million more people added to your state, depending on location. Once their numbers manifest, they won't go away. Why? Because at the same time, that 100 million spreads to other states. Texas adds 12 million by 2025. Arizona adds 5 million, and California adds 20 million by 2035. Today, states like Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and California don't possess enough water for their residents. Aquifers degrade as fast as diesel engines pump them dry. No matter how many reservoirs they build, it won't rain or snow more because they add millions of people. Water shortages and rationing will become the norm, while green lawns become as extinct as 5-cent candy bars. At the same time, states like Colorado lost 1.65 million acres of prime farmland to development in the past 10 years. Why? They added 1.3 million people. They will add 4 million more by 2050. Latest reports show Colorado will lose 3 million more acres by 2022. An additional 2 million more acres will be placed under concrete and asphalt via roads, malls, and housing. What will be the acreage losses in your state? Your losses will be commensurate to your population growth. While we exceed the land's carrying capacity, we pack ourselves in like sardines with smart growth, slow growth, and managed growth. It's all growth that adds cars, trucks, homes, power plants, malls, and smokestacks. Have you noticed traffic in your city? Have you seen the brown cloud thicken in toxicity over your area? How about the bumper-to-bumper traffic? Can you imagine what it will be with an added 100 million people in 33 years? By that time, gas or other alternative fuels will cost $8 to $10 per gallon, and water prices will break your wallet. Your food costs will likely triple. The cost of goods and services will increase beyond predictions. How about your quality of life, standard of living, crowding of national parks, lakes, streams? How about soil erosion? We paint ourselves into a corner. We're driving this population train into a dead-end tunnel. When will local and national leaders stand up and speak out? When will newspapers, TV, and radio talk shows deal with our number one crisis, overpopulation? What can you do to change America for the better? Check out the website populationmedia.org for an exciting method for creating overpopulation awareness in third world countries. Their prime directive works with the media in order to educate and activate leaders and women worldwide. To stop the invasion locally and nationally, join immigration organizations such as numbersusa.com, fairus.org, and thesocialcontract.com. This is what Frosty Wooldridge writes in the American Ninth, American Free Press, and certainly we need to be in support of what he and Wanda Piatti are doing in regard to this truck-out rally. Again, that's tomorrow, April 23rd, and then Wednesday the 24th, Tuesday the 24th, and the 25th. So actually we're talking today, aren't we? Monday the 23rd, Tuesday the 24th, Wednesday the 25th. Beginning today at noon is when this whole thing is going to unfold, and this is going to be absolutely significant that we support this because of what it means to our economic and political survivability as individuals and as a nation, and what it involves as far as protesting one world government and the new world order. The North American Union is the next step in the destruction of the American Republic. We need to stop it. We need to stop it now. It's important that we speak. It's important that we write. It's important that we call our congressman or congresswoman. But we must also take action. And this action is a way of doing it. It's not violent. It's peaceful. It's lawful. And it's fully consonant with the spirit of the American Revolution. But we are headed for disaster if we don't do something. And this is your opportunity today, tomorrow, and Wednesday to do something in this regard. When it comes to the truck out rally, it's April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It is beginning today at noon. Do whatever you can. We have a series of other stories today to cover, and these stories include, of course, something that I mentioned earlier in the hour, Grant Smith's piece entitled, Is the Media Sabotaging the AIPAC Spy Trial? And I suppose that when we understand who and what it is that controls the American news media, we might be able to answer yes without even reading Grant Smith's piece this morning at antiwar.com. Nonetheless, he gives us the lowdown on something that we really need to be aware of in the days ahead. This is an espionage trial, folks. It involves not simply two peoples, Rosen and Weissman. It involves the lobby that they represent, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And in regard to that lobby, if it is operating against the interests of the American people, we, among other things, ought to be insisting that it be registered as a foreign lobby. And when it comes to this whole issue of what they are doing in conjunction with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith to spy on American citizens and to infiltrate our society on behalf of Israel and things Jewish, this needs to be uncovered. Is this spy trial the tip of the iceberg? I think it is. And, of course, we need to connect some dots. And among the many things that we could talk about today in connecting dots are the Levon affair, which Mark Glenn has made reference to, of course, in his time on this show. There's the Pollard spy case. There is the Kennedy assassination, of course, and the USS Liberty tragedy. And now we have this AIPAC spy trial. And in having said that, we are skipping over all kinds of espionage operations and false flag incidents that have been created by the Israeli Mossad and other portions of the Israeli tentacles that have reached into American society as well as in other societies, which is again illustrated by this spy trial taking place in Virginia that we need to keep a very close watch on. Grant Smith then says today at antiwar.com that the Associated Press reported a major victory for defense in the AIPAC espionage trial on April 17th. Quote, prosecutors suffered a setback yesterday in their case against two former pro-Israel lobbyists accused of violating the 1917 Espionage Act when a federal judge rejected the government's proposal for conducting much of the trial in secret, unquote. The presiding judge, T.S. Ellis III, underscored the gravity of the situation. Quote, if the prosecution declines to submit any institutions for classified evidence that you would ever make public, then maybe, dot, 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 I have to decide whether to dismiss the indictment, if that's the case, unquote. As various elements of the Israeli lobby, the ruling is a victory for free speech. It is useful to review not only the involvement of mainstream corporate media and trafficking classified information in the AIPAC espionage case, but also their past record on secret evidence in other high-profile criminal cases. Mainstream media's formal legal foray into the AIPAC case was triggered by a government motion. On February the 16th, 2007, federal prosecutors filed a Classified Intelligence Procedures Act, or CIPA, C-I-P-A, motion, with the contents sealed from public view. CIPA is an established process under which courts operate when classified information is expected to be used at trial. In response, defendants Rosen and Weissman filed a sealed motion to strike the CIPA requests and the government's motion to close the trial. On March 13, 2007, attorney J. Ward Brown filed a motion to intervene and argue against the Department of Justice prosecutor's proposal to, quote, limit public access to classified portions of the trial proceedings, unquote. Brown filed the motion on behalf of elite media clients, including the Newspaper Guild, Communication Workers of America, Radio Television News Directors Association, Reuters America, LLC, the Society of Professional Journalists, Time Incorporated, the Washington Post, the Hearst Corporation, the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, ABC, the American Society of Newspaper Editors, the Associated Press, Dow Jones and Company, and the Newspaper Association of America. The collective pressure and implicit threat brought bear on Judge Ellis was implicit in the motion. The attempt to introduce classified evidence or protect sources and methods with closed proceedings would be widely reported on as Soviet-era secrecy in a kangaroo court. Titled, unquote, Emergency Motion for Leave to Intervene, unquote, the filing sought to keep the trial completely open, ostensibly in the interest of press coverage. The motion also subtly expresses mainstream media preconceptions about the trial, stating in the filing that the case is worth coverage because of the, quote, unusual factual circumstances that gave rise to the Rosen and Weissman indictment, unquote, and that the case involves a, quote, unprecedented application of the Espionage Act, unquote. The court docket reveals only the latest skirmish in a legal battle that has been raging for well over a year and a half, though the trial is scheduled to begin on June 4, 2007. On the surface, this seems to be a triumph of a free press over government secrecy. However, the involvement of the elite media in the AIPAC espionage trial goes far beyond the motion or what they routinely report. A few of the same corporate news outlets filing the motion were willingly used by Weissman and Rosen to disseminate classified information to further AIPAC's policy objectives. On July 21, 2004, Weissman and Rosen called Washington Post reporter Glenn Kessler to pass information that they said was from an American intelligence source, quote-unquote. That source is now known to be Colonel Lawrence Franklin, a DOD employee sentenced to 12 years in prison. The Israel lobbyists were hoping to influence U.S. policy on Iran. We'll be back with Grant Smith's piece today at antiwar.com entitled, Is the Media Sabotaging the AIPAC Spy Trial? Henry Mackow will join us at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you get the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you light burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect product to complete your preparations. For the first time you purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get them?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.com. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Mark Matt Costa, live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Henry Macau will join us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. You can find his website at SaveTheMails, M-A-L-E-S, SaveTheMails.ca. There are listed an incredible number of articles where Dr. Macau will discuss Zionism. He will discuss its relationship to feminism and the gay rights movement. That will be a most interesting chat. By the way, as I understand it, Dr. Macau comes out of a Jewish background and yet is not a Zionist. He has a very, very interesting personal history, which I trust we will get into when he comes on at 9 o'clock Central Time. And this should be a very, very interesting conversation. Dr. Macau has, by the way, a new piece out today at Jeff Rentz's site. And this site deals with Betty Friedan. And it's entitled Betty Friedan, The Making of a Woman Hater. You can find that piece by Dr. Henry Macau, or Macau again, at Rentz.com. This is your time to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do so by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or by giving us a call at the office at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Also, through the auspices of the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org, you can find out more information about the Truckout Rally, which begins today, Monday, April 23rd. It continues tomorrow, the 24th, and Wednesday, the 25th, starting at noon. All 48 continental U.S. state legislature capitol buildings will be circled and shut down. The truckers will also make their presence known in Washington, D.C. There will be a slow roll on many American highways. As these folks protest the North American Union, They protest globalism and world government. They protest the destruction of their livelihoods. They protest what the Mexican truck industry is not simply going to do to their livelihoods, but what it's going to do to safety on American highways. And what they are protesting today that involves their own economic and political interest actually involves your economic interest and mine if you are an American. Folks, King George and his boys at the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, King George's friends at the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the Import-Export Bank, and certainly the folks that helped him put together, in conjunction with Vicente Fox, this so-called North American Union, these guys are not your friend or mine. And quite clearly, when we look at this whole business of the truck-out rally, we see an opportunity to move what we have been speaking about and writing about to the next level. Let's support Frosty Wooldridge and Wanda Piatti to the extent that we can, and let's just hold people's feet to the fire who are trying to destroy this country, literally to destroy it. And as Frosty was saying in his April 9th piece for the American Free Press, can we truly have additional 100 million people in this country in the next 33 years? What's it going to do to us politically? What's it going to do to the economic infrastructure? What is it going to do to our culture? What is it going to do to our school system? The list simply goes on and on. How do we stop it? By being involved. And what we can be involved with today and tomorrow and Wednesday is the Truckers Truck Out Rally, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Also with the Republic Broadcasting Network, you can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. You can have that at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719.